Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, here we are in the third week of the sermon series on the three M's of stewardship. The first week we talked about the Maker, how God created us and gave us everything we have. Last week we talked about the Master. Who do you serve? Are you going to serve money? Are you going to serve God? Today, in keeping with the three M's, we're talking about the mule. Now you're saying, I didn't hear anything about a mule in the Bible. Never have I. Well, this isn't my fault. I didn't come up with these titles. Pastor Matt Clark of Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis, he's the one that came up with these titles. But he wanted to keep with the M's, so he referred to the donkey as a mule, just so he could have an M. So, what's the big deal about a mule? What has a mule or a donkey have to do with stewardship, you might ask? That'd be a good question. And the answer, my friends, I almost want to say is blowing in the wind, but it's not. The answer is in the Bible. We're talking about the donkey. As a matter of fact, this donkey, whatever this donkey's name was, this donkey who had never been written before, he's in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because in Matthew, we don't read that he had never been written before. But one of the other Gospels, we do. That he had never been written before. So, Jesus, now you're probably also wondering, what are we doing with a Palm Sunday songs and Palm Sunday text here in the middle of November? It's almost the end of the church year. Well, because we got to talk about the donkey today. So the donkey is very important to the story. And when I first heard it, I thought the donkey was going to be even more important. But I realized it's not so much the donkey who we're reflecting on today, it's the owner of the donkey. So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's around Bethphage, and he says to his disciples, go into the village, and you're going to find a donkey with his coat that's tied up. And some of the Gospels don't include the coat, but that's okay. That comes from Jeremiah, and that's what Matthew's going on. So they just left him out. That doesn't mean the coat wasn't there. So you'll find the donkey tied up. Go and untie him. This donkey probably belongs to somebody. Jesus wants them to go and steal a donkey? Wait a second, doesn't God say, thou shalt not steal? And Jesus, being God, says, thou shalt not steal. And yet he just told his disciples to go and grab this donkey, get this donkey, and untie it and bring it to me. Then he says, important words, if anyone says anything to you, give them a phrase. I'm not ready to give you the phrase yet, though. So I'm going to keep you in suspense. So the two men go and they start untying the donkey. And the owner notices it. And in Mark's gospel, it says, hey, what are you doing? Why are you untying that donkey? This donkey, think of it, how important this donkey is to this man. It could be transportation It could be for hauling items. It could be for doing farm work. It could be mean so many different things for this man. It could be part of his livelihood. And all of a sudden he sees two people taking his donkey away. How many of you remember the car, the Dodge Colt? Well, Dodge used to have a car called a Colt. It was kind of like Ford, Pinto, a smaller type car, Chevy Vega, a smaller car. What happens if you had a Colt, a car, and you notice somebody was getting into your car and getting ready to leave? What would you think? Would you be really happy? Would you be yelling and screaming? Would you be cursing? Probably. Yes, even us good Christians would probably be cursing. Yeah, I'd hate to think of what I might say. They're taking his donkey. They're taking his donkey. And so he yells at them, "What are you doing? Taking my donkey." And they just say, they make no excuses. They make no additional pleas. They don't try to explain, to persuade the owner with explanation. They have no giving charts. They have no video presentation, no campaign booklet, no brochures. They don't even quote the scriptures on cheerful giving. They didn't discuss any tax advantages to the owner, no special benefits for the gift, no naming opportunities. In fact, they didn't even promise that the donkey would be returned to him. All they said to him was, "The Lord has need of it. The Lord has need of it. Go ahead, take my donkey." And then the owner of the house, he hears that there's a parade planned, and he scurries down to Jerusalem to get there before it, and he sees Jesus coming in, riding in a chariot. Well, Jesus is an important person. He's the king coming in. You would expect him to be in some kind of chariot or something. And if he's going to be in something, it wouldn't be a Dodge Colt. Maybe if we want to keep with the Dodge, it could be a Dodge Challenger convertible. Or if you want to keep with the horse theme, a Ford Mustang convertible. You know, so he could sit there and do his waving as he's going in, riding in the back seat, and everybody's cheering him on. But no, the owner's like, sees Jesus on his donkey. "That's my donkey. That's my donkey. Jesus is on my donkey." How exciting that would have been for him. So, what's the purpose here right now? What does this have to do with stewardship? The Lord has need of it. How important that is. See, and I thought this was going to be on the donkey, on the mule. I thought it was going to be that the donkey gave himself up to the Lord and let the Lord ride on him. The donkey, who had never had anyone ride on him before, allowed Jesus to ride in on him. The donkey gave up everything for Jesus, but, and that's good, and I don't think we should forget about that, but it's also the man. The Lord has need of it. Go ahead, take my donkey. What does the Lord have need of from us? He gives us everything, right? Everything we have, everything we need, he supplies with us. Sometimes We might think, well, no, he hasn't given me what I needed. Maybe we were praying for a car because we're at the seminary and we have no transportation. So we're praying for a car, and you find out someone has a Chevy Cavalier to give to a seminarian student in need. And you were thinking, well, I was hoping, really hoping for, I was going to go along with Janice Joplin and hope for a Mercedes-Benz. And I end up getting this Cavalier. I thought I needed something more exotic. God knew what I needed. And if I didn't have that Cavalier, I wouldn't be here right now with you. Because if I didn't have that Cavalier, I never would have met Sally. And if I never met Sally, I wouldn't have requested to always be in Missouri as a pastor. So I could have been anywhere, anywhere. So you could either thank God that he gave me that Cavalier to keep me around here, or why'd you give him that Cavalier now? Now we have. But seriously, God gives us what we need. Maybe not what we want, but what we need. He gives us, and sometimes we don't think he gives us even what we need. A loved one is going through some difficulty, health issues, and we're praying that God gives them what's best for them. And then they die, and we think, well, that's not what I wanted. That was what would be best for the person. Their pain would be gone. They would have died in the faith. What better gift is there than that? What does he give? What does he need? The Lord has need of us. He needs you. Each and every one of you. Each and every day. He needs your time. He needs your talents. Yes, he even needs your treasure. Notice I'm not saying that M word. But he needs you to be his child, his children, and to do what is to his glory and for the benefit of your neighbors. He needs you to act like you're a child of God, and not just on Sundays when you come and sit in the pews. He needs you to do what the good works he has prepared for you to do. Not that good works will get you into heaven, but through faith, we do have good works to do. Next week's the last Sunday of the church year. We'll find out more about the good works he has prepared for us to do. But God does, Lord needs whatever we can give him. The owner gave him his donkey. The donkey gave him himself. What can we do for the Lord? How can we help the Lord? Because I don't know. Has God ever done anything for you? Has he ever given you anything? Himself? Maybe. Humbling himself by being born of a virgin, we're getting ready to go into Advent. As we prepare for Christ's birth, and we also prepare for his return. And he gave himself. He allowed himself to suffer greatly. To be flogged, to be whipped, to have all these things done to him because of his love for you and for all people. And he stretched out his arms and he suffered and was crucified and he died for you, shedding his body and blood for you and all people of all times. for the forgiveness of your sins. And on the third day, he rose, giving us the promise of our resurrection, the promise of the resurrection into eternal life of all believers. He gave everything to us, and he just asks us for himself. The very same Lord who had need of that unnamed donkey owner's generosity has need of your generosity. There's a song by the Christian singer Matthew West where the refrain has a call to action for Christians. In the refrain, he sings and asks this: if not us, then who? If not me and you, right now, if not now, then when? Will we see an end to all this pain? It's not enough to do nothing. It's time for us to do something. The Lord has need right now. What a great opportunity to give and to help. The Lord has given you everything. I pray we're able to give back to him anything. In the name of Jesus, amen.